chapter number 2. We've been studying through on Wednesdays and Sunday afternoons, been studying through the book of Ephesians. And we are now in chapter number 2, and I want to look here at another portion of chapter 2 today as we consider the grace of God. God is a gracious God. It is one of His attributes that He is indeed a gracious God. And we're going to be looking from, as we see here in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul spells this out and brings understanding to us of God's grace and how that translates to us in our salvation, that our salvation is by His grace through faith in Him. And so we see this, we read verse 5, if you would look with me there, in Ephesians 2, verse 5 says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." And then he says in verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." We studied already. We see there that not only is the grace from God, but faith is from Him as well. They are both gifts from Him. We do not have this in ourselves. It has to be given us by Him. Because before His grace comes, we are dead in trespasses and sins, and we cannot help ourselves. He gives us grace, and He gives us faith. And so He graces us with grace, and He graces us with faith, that we might believe, you see. And so He tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." God has been so good to us. So good. He deserves our praise. He deserves our thanksgiving, for His blessings are ever upon us. Each and every day, we enjoy the blessings of God, especially as His people. There's a common grace that all the world enjoys today. They've got breath in their lungs. If the sun's shining on them or if the rain is beating upon them, if they're in the cold or in the hot, if they're alive this day, God's common grace is upon them and they should praise Him for it. But we as His people, we as those who have experienced His grace in salvation, we have all the more to praise Him for. All the more. Because He has given us life. Life. Not just this physical life that we are breathing in and out, but He has given us life eternal in our Lord Jesus Christ by this gift. By this gift that He has extended unto us. Our God is a gracious, gracious God. C.D. Cole said it like this: "Salvation is of grace both in its planning and working. God who made the plan also works the plan. And all is of grace. The unmerited and unmeritable favor of God. God has worked every part of the working of salvation and then places in His people the desire for that which He has worked." In Psalm 110 and verse number 3, Psalm 110 and verse number 3, David writes here, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth." Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. This willingness to have Christ comes to us by the Spirit of God as He convicts us of sin, as He reveals to the sinner that Jesus is Savior and Lord, and as God gives to us what He tells us there in verse number 8 of our text, "For by grace are you saved through faith." For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God is so gracious to us. And so what is grace? What is grace? The Greek word for grace is the word charis. Charis. It's found in the New Testament more than 150 times. And it's most often translated the word we have, grace. It's one of the divine perfections of God and is exercised in the salvation of sinners. It's when it's seen most clearly. The simple definition is the definition we've been using, and that is that definition of unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. But that is a simple definition. It's so much deeper than simply His favor toward us. So much deeper, so much more rich and deep. That simple definition in employment of such a marvelous work of God is really doesn't describe it enough. The idea of just simply unmerited favor. I'll read a couple of different definitions to you today. One is from Alexander White. He describes grace as this. He says, "Grace and love are essentially the same. Only grace is love manifesting itself and operating under certain conditions and adapting itself to certain circumstances. As for example, love has no limit or law such as grace has. Love may exist between equals, or it may rise to those above us or flow down to those in any way beneath us, but grace from its nature has only one direction it can take. Grace always flows down. Grace is love indeed, but it is love to creatures humbling itself. A king's love to his equals or to his own royal house is love, but his love to his subjects is called grace. And thus it is that God's love to sinners is always called grace. We are not His equal. We are not His deserved. There is nothing about us, that demands God loves us. There is nothing about us that we deserve His love. There is no good. There is no work. There is no personage that can work their way enough to be worthy, to be demanding of God's grace. There is nothing about us that deserves His grace. It is always flowing down to us because it is His want to give it to us. It is undeserved by us. It is undeserved. Alexander McLaren, he describes grace. He says the word grace is a kind of shorthand for the whole sum of unmerited blessings which come to men through Jesus Christ. Primarily, it describes that we for want of a better expression, have to call a disposition in the divine nature. And it means the unconditioned, undeserved, spontaneous, eternal, stooping, pardoning love of God. But there are no idle dispositions in God. They are always energizing. And so the word glides from meaning the disposition to meaning the manifestations and activities of it. And the grace of our God is that love in exercise. And then, since the divine energies are never fruitless, the word passes over further to mean all the blessed things in the soul which are the consequences of the Promethean truth of God's loving hand, the outcome in life of the inward bestowment which has its cause, its sole cause, in God's ceaseless, unexhausted love, unmerited and free. And then Phillips says, grace is something in God which is at the heart of all His redeeming activities. The downward stoop and reach of God, bending from the heights of His majesty to touch and grasp our insignificance and poverty. You see, so yes, grace is unmerited favor, but it is a favor that God has extended, that He reaches down to get us. He comes down to where we are and brings us to Himself. He reaches down, He stoops down to bring this grace, to bring this love to us who are undeserving of the least of His blessings, of us who are undeserving of His common grace. He extends to us this grace that makes us His own. That makes us His own. That brings us to Himself. A.W. Pink defines it as this. He says, divine grace is the sovereign and saving favor of God, exercised in bestowing blessings upon those who have no merit in them and for which no compensation is demanded. Nay, more, it is the favor of God to those who not only have no positive deserts of their own, but also who are thoroughly ill-deserving and hell-deserving. It is completely unmerited and unsought, and is altogether unattracted by anything in or from or by the subjects upon which it is bestowed. It is the free gift of God to His people. The free gift of God to His people. And so we see that grace is unmerited. It is His love stooping down to us. We see how His grace is applied to three things in the Scripture. First, God's attitude or disposition of love and favor towards a sinner is grace. His love towards a sinner is what we call grace. We have read before in Genesis 6 and verse number 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a sinner just like everybody else was. Noah was born of Adam. He was a sinner just like everybody else. But God bestowed grace and love upon him and saved the human race in him during this time of flood in Genesis chapter number 6 through 9. So it is his attitude and disposition of love and favor towards a sinner. That's grace. But secondly, when God does something for the sinner's good, it is grace. He says in our text here in chapter 2 and verse number 5, by grace ye are saved. By grace ye are saved. That was for our good. It was not for anything. It wasn't for God's good. It was for our good that he extended that to us because of his love for us. By grace ye are saved. And thirdly, the fruit produced by the inwrought grace in the believer is also called grace. Those good works worked through us. Worked through us are called grace. We see in 2 Corinthians, turn with me over there to chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. We see here the heart of the church at, the churches, I should say, at Macedonia to their giving. They were liberal givers. In other words, they gave freely to take care of the saints in other places. And we see the hearts of these churches. He says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we want you to see, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Notice what Paul calls it there in verse number 1. He calls it God's grace. It's God's grace working in this church or in these churches here that are gathered together in Macedonia. God's grace working in them that they do the work of God. That they give to their brethren liberally. That they would give out the money, even when they themselves were in deep poverty. He says, even when they were struggling financially themselves, by God's grace they gave, and they gave liberally. And so Paul calls it here grace. It was grace being shown. It was grace being manifested here in the lives of these churches as they were giving for God. And so that's that fruit being produced in them. Because of God's grace in them, that fruit being produced by them is called also grace. Grace. Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. We'll see another example of this. Verse number 23. We'll back up just a little bit and read beginning in verse 19. It says, now when they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Here, they Barnabas goes and he sees the grace of God. What did he see? Did he see the actual thing, God's grace? No, he saw it acting out in the people that in the church there. He saw it in their lives. It was evident in them. It's the same thing that James is talking about in James chapter 2, talking about a grace or a faith rather that's alive is going to be seen. A true, a living faith is going to be seen in the lives of individuals. And this is the same wordage here. It's when we have truly have God's grace, it's going to be seen in our lives. It's going to come out in our actions. It's going to come out in our words. It's going to come out in how we deal with one another. It's going to come out in how we live our lives each and every day. That grace is going to be seen in us. If we have His grace, it's going to be seen in our lives. It's going to be a reality in us. It's going to be a fruit that is produced in us because of that which God has given us. And this is what Barnabas seen when he came here to this church. He saw that grace of God because it was being acted out in these people's lives. They were showing forth that grace had truly come to them. And it was made evident in their works. Both places that we read here, it's called the grace of God. Not the grace of the Macedonians, not the grace of those of Antioch, but rather it's called the grace of God. Because it's only there by Him. It's only found there by His work, putting in us His grace. And so it's called the grace of God. Now, we understand grace is not the law. John 1 and verse 17 says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace is not the law. Moses was the voice of the law. Jesus is the voice of grace. Law's nature is to demand and require. The nature of grace is to bestow blessing. The law condemns. Grace forgives. The law reveals man's separation from God. Grace saves those who are separated. Grace saves the worst of those who are separated. The law says do and live. Grace says believe and live. The law demands righteousness. Grace provides righteousness. The law curses. Grace redeems from the curse. As long as man is under the law, he is condemned. The only way to get out from under the law is through faith in Christ Jesus. We must be under His grace. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 4. Romans 10 and verse number 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In chapter 6 of Romans. Romans 6 and verse 14. Paul says here, Romans 6 and verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." You're not under law, but under grace. Grace grace is contrasted with sin in its issue. Sin reigns unto death. Grace reigns unto eternal life. Romans chapter 5 and verse 21, he says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin gets its damning power from the law. The law condemns, and the reason it condemns is because we are all sinners. Every last one of us have come short of the law of God. Every last one of us have sinned against Him. We've all transgressed His law. And so the law condemns. The law reveals. The law shows our sin. It reveals it to us. And so by the law we are condemned. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 56. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 56. Paul describing resurrection here. He says here in verse 56, O death, where is thy sting? Verse 55 rather, O grave, where is thy victory? And then he says, the sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The law, because of our sin, condemns us and holds us under that condemnation, but God in grace has provided for us an escape. God in grace has provided for us righteousness to meet the demands of the law that we could not meet ourselves, and it is provided for us in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by Him we have victory over death. It is by Him that we have victory over sin. It is by Him that we meet the standards of the law of God. Jesus has met it for us. He has given us grace. Jesus satisfied the law, the demands of the law, in Himself for us. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 1 and 2 of this passage. Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then he says in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That grace, that escape, if you will, from the condemnation, that righteousness given to us comes by our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is that free gift worked by Him for us. That free gift worked by Him for us. It's not our works, but it's His work. It's His work. He accomplished it. He gave it for us. That which we could not do ourselves. It is a free gift from Him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. salvation by grace of the Creator and not by the works of the creature. Salvation by grace excludes our ability to brag. We cannot brag in our, we can brag in Him, we can brag in our Lord, and we should, because we cannot brag in ourselves. It was all by Him that such grace is given. Then also, grace is not debt nor obligation. Romans chapter 4 and verse 4 and verse 5. He says, "Now to him that worketh, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." We had to work for it. If we had to work in order to be saved, then God would owe us salvation. And that's not the case. He don't owe us nothing. And He tells us in the book of Isaiah that our righteousness is the work that you and I perform. They are filthy rags before Him. So even if we had to work in order to receive the salvation, it still wouldn't be enough, because our works are filthy. Our works are full of our own sin. Our works are tainted by our wickedness. So if God required us to work in order to receive His salvation, then we would all be left without salvation, because our work would not be worthy of His salvation. And so He says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." And then He says in verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." His faith is counted for righteousness. So to be paid for work is not grace, but debt. It's what is owed to you. There's no grace where one gets what he deserves or earns. That's not grace. Salvation by grace means that God is in no way obligated to save you, but by His own will. But by His own will. If He is obligated, then salvation is not of grace. It was grace in God and not a debt that He was under that caused Him to give Christ for us. Grace. That wonderful, wonderful act of our God toward us, His people, that He would stoop down to give Christ Jesus unto us, that our Lord would humble Himself and become obedient to His Father to face the death of the cross, that He might provide for you a salvation that you cannot get any other place. That He would provide for you a salvation that you cannot earn from anything else that you do. A salvation that He would provide for you that you can only get through Him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The gift of God. His grace. What wondrous work our Lord has accomplished to bring salvation to us, that He would give such a thing as grace. Do you have His grace this day? Do you know that Jesus is your Lord? Repent, turn from your sin, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this day. He is the only way of life. He is the only way of God's grace. Let's all stand together. Brother Jonathan, would you bring us a song?